Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome everybody to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today is Wednesday, November the 12th, 2025. And joining me in I'm Tim Wildman. I don't know if the announcer, I think the announcer said that. Joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Glad to be here.
And Fred Jackson.
Hello there.
So it's four of us. As I said, we're going to split the brain power up 25% apiece.
Yep. And we're prepared for that.
And we're prepared for that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just use 25% of my brain power every day. So.
Well, you got to conserve, Ed. You spend all your brain power.
So you spend 25% of your brain 100% of the time.
Yes.
You like I did that?
I like that.
That sounds like something you tell your little baseball players you coach, Wesley.
You need to get
25% of your effort 100% of the time. Who's with me?
7 days a week.
All right. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. We're here, and we're going to talk about what's happening in our country and in our world as much as we can and offer a biblical perspective on that, biblical worldview perspective. That's why we're here. That's what makes us different. Hopefully, we can do that. That's what our goal is. And, of course, American Family Radio, we're here 24/7 providing good Bible teaching and news and information that will help you become a good Christian citizen in this here country. And by the way, we were having a reading this morning of a letter we're sending out to our supporters, which noted that upcoming is our 250th anniversary as a country.
Yes, 1776, 250 years. 2026 is the 250th.
I can't wait. I hope it's an amazing year because I have some of my fondest memories as a child was the you're from Canada, Fred. Why are you laughing at me?
Because he's from Canada.
I'm about to share something very patriotic, and you're, like, laughing at me.
I thought you were going to say I was there 250 years ago.
Oh, well. No, I wasn't.
He's losing a little bit, but not that
bad. Yeah, I don't think I'm slipping that bad. I remember talking to George Washington.
When I was a kid.
Right. I gave him a piece of my mind. What I was going to say was some of my fondest memories as a child of being 13 years old. That's a child, it's a teenager, and celebrating the bicentennial.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
You've mentioned that, but I don't, like, obviously.
Well, it was a great year for me.
Talking about 1976.
Yeah, for Americans. I remember everybody had, you know, your swim trunks were red, white, and blue. T-shirts that celebrated the bicentennial. Yep. And
that was the year I graduated from high school.
76?
76. I was a 76 graduate.
Huh.
Yeah.
So,
Fred,
anyway,
don't pretend like you care.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of patriotism. Everybody was a patriot.
Yeah.
Man, it was such a wonderful time to be an American.
Both parties,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, both parties.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody was calling for the overthrow of the foundational ideas of our country.
No. Democrats and Republicans had differences, obviously, on how to govern, but there was no question. I mean, I didn't say Jimmy Carter's a communist.
Right.
He was just...
He didn't self-identify as a communist either.
No, he didn't.
Like Mom Donnie
but
does.
He, right. I mean, the Democrat Party has just gone so far left. But back in I don't know when you would say, but when that changed necessarily, it was kind of gradual. But everybody was, Democrats and Republicans alike, were
The main fault line.
Loved America and we're patriotic.
Yeah. One of the main fault lines between Republicans and Democrats, they all loved America, founding principles was guns or butter. Okay. That was the way I remember it in economics class. Do you spend more on military or do you spend more on providing social services? That was kind of one of the main fault lines. Republicans wanted to spend more on military, like Ronald Reagan, to keep up with the Soviet Union. And Democrats said, no, we already spend too much. But they both parties loved America.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
No, I was going to say, like Wesley said, as far as we know, you know, they did. So.
You got to ask another question about
I was going to share a little inside baseball with our Today's Issues audience here.
Go.
But they can't share it with anybody else.
Okay. All right. Just between us.
We are working on a 250-year anniversary of our country video with a couple of the Bartons and Steve McDowell, Rick Green, Walker Wildman, and a few others. And so we're working on coordinating that. So I mentioned that to give you a little inside baseball, but also so you could pray for the idea as it's coming together. And we'll release that in 2026. And we'll have more information as we get past New Year's, but we're working on something. So when you listen to us and you financially support the work we do,
mean David and Tim Barton from Wall Builders.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And Stephen McDowell from the Providence.
And Rick Green.
Rick Green.
Walker Wildman. Yep.
And also,
you have a commercial in there, Dad.
We will have Tim Wildman because he was there in 1770.
When is the meeting? Because I didn't get an invitation.
So we've got a couple AI audios of you that we're going to slip in.
Oh, AI audios of me.
And we're going to tell you what we want you to say. No, I'm just kidding. No, we can include you if you'd like to be included. Fred, would you like to be included? Ed, would you like to be included?
No, we can't give a trophy to everybody. I just thought maybe as president of the ministry, I would be of value to the film.
The idea is not complete. So if the audience prays hard enough, maybe you'll come to mind.
Okay.
I've reached the stage of life and also my career here at AFA because in February, I will have been here 30 years. That when you say, do you want to be in the film? I go, nope.
Nope.
Yes. No. For one thing, we've all these people you named, including Tim.
Yeah.
These are people that our listeners and supporters want to hear from.
Yeah, yeah.
They're experts on all this.
Yeah.
I would just be another pretty face. And who needs that?
Yeah, who needs that?
Yeah, Ed. You're often confused with Brad Pitt.
I'm actually more usually confused with Robert Redford he passed away.
Oh, okay. Bada boom. Okay. So I just say all that for the last 7 minutes to say I'm looking so forward to celebrating our 250th birthday here in the U.S. When is Canada's 200th or whatever? What's coming up next?
Well, we were 100 years old in 1967 when you guys were talking. 67 was the big year for us, 100 years.
So it's 150 or 160 now, right? Coming up on it,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And 67, there's another date that it wasn't that the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup.
For those who don't know, what Ed just did right there was he kicked Fred in the Canadian groin. is what he did right there because he insulted his hockey team.
It's not technically his hockey team.
No, Chicago's my hockey team.
But anyway, it was a slight against a team that my team, the Boston Bruins, despised.
It was unnecessary.
It was unnecessary. And I don't think we're allowed to say what you said the air.
I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. Do I need to apologize again
or just move on? We're good.
Let's move on. All right, Fred, what's your first story?
Well, supposedly at 8 o'clock tonight Central Time, the House will vote on that bill that supposedly...
I'm going to be watching.
...will end the shutdown.
C-SPAN, here I come.
Yeah. And there are a lot of stories surrounding this. You know, House Majority Leader Tom Ember, he says the shutdown has caused needless pain because what's on the table right now, what's going to be voted on tonight pretty well, was offered way back on September the 19th. Cut two.
We're going to reopen the government as soon as these Democrats in the House give us the chance to vote on it. It'll get done. In the meantime, it's very sad. I mean, 40 days plus, they shut down this government. And for what? For absolutely nothing except to hurt the American people. It's the exact same CR that we passed back on September 19th. The only difference is you now have a new date of the end of January, and then they added the three appropriations bills that were basically ready to go back in September.
Yeah.
Who was that, gentlemen?
Tom Ember. He is the House Majority Whip.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
So that'll be voted on tonight and then passed, and the president will sign it tomorrow?
That is the plan. Now, I'm sure the Democrats are going to try to come up with some kind of delay tactics in all of this because House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says, he says there will be no vote unless there are Obamacare tax credits. Cut four.
House Democrats will strongly oppose any legislation that does not decisively address the Republican health care crisis. We want to reopen the government. We'll continue to stand by our hardworking federal employees and civil servants, but we have a responsibility to make sure that we extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits.
I'm confused.
All right. We're going to try to straighten that out, Tim.
Do you know what I'm confused about?
What are you confused about?
That was the leader of the Democrats.
That's correct.
He's saying we're not voting for this.
Yes.
Well, okay, and I would say it doesn't matter because the Republicans have enough votes right on their own, even though their margin's very slight,
yes,
to pass it without your votes. Am I right?
Heck, yes. Okay. Hakeem Jeffries is just being the leader and trying to put a happy face, I guess,
He's a happy face guy.
Yeah, he is.
But you know, Hakeem Jeffries cracks me up every time I hear him.
A lot of people are confused about the whole Obamacare credits thing. And basically what the Democrats want to do is continue the subsidies that were put in place when Joe Biden was president. There was COVID. Extra money was being given to people because they were out of work. So they want to continue this. So we have a Vic Roy, who's from the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity. He says Obamacare is overcharging right now the young and healthy to take care of the elderly and the sick. Cut 10.
Tell me what went wrong with Obamacare.
The bottom line is it's the regulations. Obamacare created a nationwide, one-size-fits-all set of regulations for that kind of insurance that you were mentioning, that people buy on their own, outside of their employer, outside of the government. And the two things that Obamacare did that broke the insurance market were, one, it overcharged healthy people that needed insurance to help fund the cost of insurance for sick people, and overcharged young people to help fund the cost of insurance for sick people. So young people paid double, triple, quadruple what they were paying before, and healthy people paid double, triple, quadruple what they paid before. And so those were the people who were particularly harmed by Obamacare, who dropped out of the market, who can't find affordable coverage unless they get those subsidies. And the end result is, if only sicker and older people buy insurance, the price of insurance for everybody goes through the roof.
Okay, so that was a good explanation.
It was good.
What he's talking about there. But,
I mean, that's kind of true about all insurance.
That's what I was thinking.
It's kind of true about all insurance that you create a pool of money. An insurance company with all of its customers creates a pool of money, and that pool of money is used to pay out claims. So you have to have enough healthy people in that pool who aren't drawing out because they're not getting sick in order to keep funding the healthcare for sick people so that the company can make a profit and stay in business. Okay, that's a very basic way of understanding how insurance works. So what Obamacare did is create a way for people who don't have insurance provided by work to try to get insurance, but it's got to work the same way. You've got to have young people and healthy people funding it through the insurance companies so that they don't go out of business. And we all know that if you go into a hospital emergency room, back when we had unlimited illegal immigration. They were filled, and the hospital was
providing. Those people are still here.
They were providing free health care for people who weren't paying anything. And so the rest of us, our bills were exaggeratedly high to cover the hospital so they could take care of those people for free. It's a very complex system, but the Democrats, I think this explanation was just very helpful, that you were charging incredibly high premiums for people who don't actually need to use the insurance to cover the people who do.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so... I was like 30 seconds from eyes glazing over, but but you finished just on time.
My eyes were glazing over while I was speaking.
I tell you, well, anyway, let me ask you one other question, if I can belabor the point, because most people say I don't want to belabor the point, but I'm going to belabor it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Huh, right here.
On purpose.
When they say, oh, when that, like, what is an Obamacare subsidy? What is that exactly? Is that money that comes, that goes to individuals directly to help pay for Obamacare insurance, or does that go to companies? What is an Obamacare, or does that go to states? What is an Obamacare subsidy? Does anybody here know?
The aim of it is to reduce the cost of insurance for individuals.
But what is it? Is it federal tax dollars?
Oh, it's federal tax dollars.
So it's federal money. It's federal money.
Absolutely.
It's real money that the federal government is doling out. Is that what this is?
Yes.
Okay. That's what a subsidy means.
Yes.
Okay.
And here's another.
And it goes to insurance companies.
Yes.
So if you're an individual who wants to go through Obamacare to get insurance, you go to company X.
Yes.
And you have the subsidy, so you can kick in that extra money to what and add it to what you're going to provide.
So that kind of subsidy has been going on since COVID. It was done in the name of helping people get through COVID financially, right?
Yes.
And now it's supposed to term out. The legal limit, it's supposed to expire.
Yes.
And the Democrats they're holding out saying, no, we want to continue with the subsidies. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
he looked at me.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Weston, because I don't see any answers in your eyes. So
go ahead.
I was going to say, one additional thing to remember is that insurance companies are free to do the following. They find out that Congress is kicking in federal tax dollars to create subsidies, so then they are legally allowed to raise the premiums.
Yes.
Because they're going to be getting free money from the government.
Yes.
And so everyone else complains because rates go up.
Yes.
You know, I think you're going to find more and more people interested in this Christian share type of approach. Now, we have traditional insurance here.
Yes.
But
we've looked into that, though.
We've looked into that, and there may be a time in the future when we swap over. But I'm just saying that's growing.
It is.
That
Medishare, right? No, what's it called?
The different types.
You know what I'm saying? That approach.
That's right, Medishare.
Medishare, where we
advertise them on it.
Yeah. It's a great organization. And but anyway, I think that will continue to grow.
Christian Care Ministry, Medishare.
Because health insurance is health insurance, you know, goes up, and the cost of healthcare goes up every year. And healthcare is not like any other kind of insurance. All right. You're talking about life. Okay. You're talking about health. You're talking about your well-being. And so you can't, you know, nobody wants to say, well, you can't have a kidney transplant, sir, because you don't have any money.
Right.
So just go home and die. I mean, who does that?
No.
Huh? So it's whereas you could say, well, sorry, sir, you don't have the money for your car insurance, so you just go home and don't drive. Okay. Well, you can deal with that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you can't. The other I'm talking about is even people here who are here illegally. Okay, I'm a deport people who are here right. illegally guy because we have to have legal immigration. We have to have law and order, or we don't have a country. But if you're going to ask Tim, there's a child who's 5 years old who's got tuberculosis or whatever, or breaks their leg, and he's here illegally. Do you want to yes or no on helping him with this sickness or ailment?
I would say yes.
Huh?
You got to say yes.
Yeah. Do you not have a heart?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but at the same time of me saying, yeah, you got to help people who are in need physically. At the same time, guess what? Your charity has to be paid for.
Yep.
Yes.
That's a reality also.
Right.
So does that make sense?
Yeah. And so there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, absolutely, take care of the kid, broke his arm.
Right.
But we don't need so many people here getting health care who can't pay, because that affects the cost for everybody else. So we're going to firm up the border.
Yeah.
And we're going to deport people. They may go to the emergency room before they get out, but
what
we're
America
shut yeah, down the.
I don't want to belabor. I'm going to belabor a belabored point here. Yeah. Can I belabor?
Absolutely.
I'll double down on my belabor.
You got 8, 7, 6, and okay. Iceberg glazing over.
I'll just say this, and I'm not saying anything. But everybody, most people that you're listening don't already agree with what Joe Biden and the Democrats did for 4 years by doing away with our border was abominable. Mm-hmm. And is going to hurt our country for a long, long time, mm-hmm. because we've got, they say 15 million people came in here. Who knows? Maybe more in 4 years, just nobody vetted them. We're hearing now all the time about people being caught who are here illegally, who are criminals. Right.
That's right.
But just people who aren't criminals, but just poured into our country without any kind of law and order, without going through the process of legal immigration. And now we are supposed to absorb the social services for all these people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, you don't have a heart, or you're inhumane. But what Joe Biden did by letting all these people come in, of course, the Democrats want these folks to become legal. That's why you'll often hear a pathway to citizenship, so that they can then vote Democrat from here till forever.
Yeah.
That's what their goal is. I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it will, but that was their goal when they let 15 million people in here.
And those are the people that they let in just in those 4 years. There were already millions of people that were here illegally anyways.
They came in
during the previous administration.
But Biden said... y'all come.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, yeah. In fact, you remember, I mentioned this before, you remember the Democrat debate? It was in Miami. It was during 2016. No, 2020. And remember the Democrats had their primary?
Uh-huh.
And Kamala Harris was in it. Joe Biden was in it. Bernie Sanders was in it. And the commentator said, raise your hand if you want to pay for insurance for anybody who comes here illegally. Now, they didn't phrase it like that. They would have said something about here. Raise your hand if you want America to cover health insurance or for undocumented people. That's probably how they would have put it. And every one of them raised their hands.
That's right.
And you're going like, you're incentivizing people to come here from all over the world, just pour into our country, and we're supposed to take care of them by you raising your hand saying we should pay for their health needs.
Right.
Because that's the ultimate agenda of Obamacare.
Right.
It was step one to get socialized medical care.
Yes.
Yeah, one day we're going to have socialized medicine probably, or some form of it.
Yep.
People would argue Obamacare already is. But then you're going to have people who want to pay for country club membership.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Pay for health care.
An even bigger gap on either side.
Yep. Above and beyond what you can get through just general insurance or not having insurance. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and I promise not to
belabor the belabor.
No more belaboring for me this show, okay? All right, no more delay.
All of us say amen.
All right, we'll be back momentarily.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you missed the last half hour of today's issues, I'd go back and listen to it again. It was riveting radio, if I do say so myself. We talked government shutdown, ending.
Insurance.
Votes. We talked insurance. We talked Obamacare.
Subsidies. We're all over
subsidies
it.
Alone are worth listening to us talk about. I
absolutely.
Think. Yeah,
won't have to take your melatonin before you go to sleep at night if you just listen to that segment.
I thought that has something to do with your skin color.
That's melanin.
Oh, I've been taking the wrong thing.
Yeah, you have.
Evidently. Well, I've noticed.
Haven't helped me sleep better at all.
I've noticed a yellowing
made me whiter.
Shade. You've been taking the wrong kind of melanin.
I've been getting whiter. Yeah. I don't know what the problem is. So anyway, we wanted to wrap this story. We had, in all seriousness, we've been talking about health insurance and also the Democrats and Republicans have been arguing about continuing Obamacare subsidies that started during COVID to help Americans who were struggling economically. As typical of Democrats, they want to continue with welfare programs and increase them into eternity. That's basically their platform.
Yeah.
So that they've been arguing over that, Republicans and Democrats. But anyway, you wanted to play one other clip before we get to our guest, relative to this issue?
Yes, Dr. Mehmet Oz, I think most of our audience very familiar with him. He now holds the title of Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. He's the administrator there.
He was a wizard for many years.
Come on, Ed. Can we get serious for a minute?
Okay.
It's up to me. Keep this show on track. Go ahead.
Continuing on. Now, he says the government, the taxpayers of America, could save a lot of money because there are apparently, according to Dr. Oz, 11 million people who have Obamacare, but they never use it. Cut 11.
Today, it's over 11 million people who have Obamacare never use their policies. They don't buy medications with it. They don't see doctors and use it, which means they often don't know they have it. And yet we're still stuck with the bill. The president doesn't want that anymore.
Yeah, that's the issue here, is that the government is subsidizing people, getting insurance companies, giving millions, billions of dollars to insurance companies for people who don't even need it or use it.
Yeah, and the insurance companies are racking up this extra money from the government.
Yes.
With, increasing their profits, which I guess if someone offers you free money, mm-hmm. Well, guess what most people say? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Dr. Oz, he's in charge of what? What's his title?
His title is Administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
All right, we appreciate Appreciate that, Fred, giving us that information. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, here we are in the middle of November, so before you know it, it'll be Christmas. And one of the things that American Family Association, the parent ministry here of AFR, has been known for 20 years are our Christmas buttons. That we have a brand new one here that we're going to talk about. Our Christmas buttons, you might have seen them, people wearing Christmas buttons, something, and it would always have something to do with, you know, with the real reason for the season, as they say. And so we're going to talk about that right now and tell you how you can get your 2025 Christmas buttons. And Ed has his own, and Fred has his own. I'm about to put mine on. But joining us in the studio is our number one ambassador for our Christmas buttons, Brother Jerry Lawson, who is the senior pastor of Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Good morning, Brother Jerry.
Good morning, sir.
Did I get the church right?
Yes, sir, you did.
Now, I've asked you this before, and I'm familiar with Cumberland Presbyterian Churches. Tell us about the Cumberland Presbyterian denomination.
Well, it had its beginning in 1810 in Great Revival, and we kind of separated from the Presbyterian Church.
Why'd you do that?
Over several theological issues.
Oh, okay.
And so, today we have about 1,000 churches, mm-hmm. one seminary and one college.
Where's that?
Well, the college is in McKenzie, Tennessee, Bethel College, and then Memphis Theological Seminary is in Memphis.
Gotcha. Well, we have a lot of supporters who attend Cumberland Presbyterian churches, and I know they're very theologically conservative and sound. But so you serve the church, Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Now, you're here every year, and you don't age, brother, by the way. I just want to compliment you. I don't know what melanoma or what are you?
No.
What?
That's cancer. Okay, so there's melatonin. There's melanin, and then there's melanoma.
See, Jerry, I have to deal with the splitting hair stuff.
Well,
with
that's the as words, long as you're not wearing glasses, I will not change.
All right. For those who don't know, tell us a little bit of the story of how you got to be our number one Christmas button guy.
If you go back 20 years ago, they were having a war on Christmas. Many people were allowed to say Happy Holidays.
Right.
But as far as saying Merry Christmas, that was offensive in a lot of the big box stores. And there were some people that started a campaign about the fact that you couldn't say Merry Christmas. And so anyway, when your dad started coming out with the buttons, I was kind of incensed down at a particular store. And I said Merry Christmas, and the lady looked at me and pointed her finger and said, shh, don't say that in here. And I thought, what?
Was this in Mississippi?
Yes.
Yeah, or deep red state.
Bible Belt.
Not far from my community down there in Ackerman. So the Lord just laid on my heart, and he showed me the buttons and all, and I said, I think the Lord's led me into this, and I'm going to start getting these buttons and passing them out. And I think the first year I passed out maybe about 50 buttons, and last year was 2,500 buttons, and so we've done passed out 500 this year.
Amen. Wow. Well, we at American Family Association, and thanks to Jerry and thousands of people maybe listening to me right now, have distributed these buttons across America the last 20-plus years, and the purpose is to keep Christ in Christmas in our country, because there are people, as Jerry's talking about, in this war on Christmas, which many people mocked and said isn't real. Oh, yeah, it was real. I remember I was on with Bill O'Reilly on his television show about this.
Right.
And he was helpful, Bill O'Reilly, on Fox News, and getting combating this. But there are a lot of people, the secular progressives, I call them the God haters, they want to do away with our Christian heritage. And one of the ways they wanted to do that is to change the
the phrase Merry Christmas.
The specialness of the Christmas season that we've all, we love in America, to do away with that and change it to just a generic holiday.
As if people were going to stores to buy holiday gifts. They were going to buy Christmas gifts.
And that was one of the things that we pointed out, is that for all these stores who say, no, our employees are not allowed to say Merry Christmas, as you say, Ed, yeah. Then why do you think those people are in your stores?
Right.
They're not buying Kwanzaa gifts.
Yeah.
Or winter solstice.
Yeah, they're buying Christmas gifts. So you're a hypocrite if you're a corporation who tells people, don't commemorate, don't mention the name of the very reason that people are buying stuff in our stores.
People weren't buying holiday trees. They were buying Christmas trees.
Well, it's weird.
And we all know that.
We had a local chain of stores, Home Improvement. I won't mention the name because this does go back 20 years. Mm-hmm. That started selling holiday trees.
Oh, they did?
They actually had a sign, holiday trees.
Gotcha.
So but do you know, Lowe's, that we went... Did I slip?
No,
anyway,
no, sir.
I'll just tell you. Okay, this was 20-plus years ago, and it was Lowe's.
Yeah.
And Lowe's announced that they were going with holiday trees, and they had always called them Christmas trees.
Right.
And then Randy Sharp, who works here at AFA, and Buddy Smith got on this project. Two of our employees who were communicating with Lowe's, and I think Randy may have gone and personally met with them. I think so. And with Lowe's, I'm talking about. And you know what? To Lowe's credit, they changed immediately. They said, you know what?
You're right.
You're right. Yeah. And they've always been Christmas trees, and we're not switching over to holiday trees. We're going to go back to saying Christmas trees. Right. So we won that one.
Yeah.
So bringing this full circle, now that we would say, AFA would say, at this point, by and large, we've won that fight. We also, if you look at these, it says on the Christmas button this year, it says Jesus, our joy for all eternity. And it's got a picture of the nativity scene with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And that's what it includes there. And so this image now becomes a form of a gospel track, because you can wear them and share them, as we say. And I know Dr. Jerry Lawson has at least one doctor. Nope, sorry, no, brother.
Well, you going to give him some kind of honorary doctorate here for today's issues?
For how many buttons he's given out.
Okay, give him an honorary doctorate.
That's right.
Brother, some kind of resolution.
Brother Jerry Lawson, you have at least one story you could share with us?
About how...
Wear them and share them and how impactful...
Hey, before he does that, can I tell people how to order these?
Yeah, do so.
Okay, and Jerry, they do want you to share. He's got 100 stories, so how long do you want to
take? Yeah, that's right, one.
And they're all good, brother, sure. I'll tell you that. Do we have this on our Facebook page? So Brent Creeley's putting this on our Facebook page for today's issues. But that is how you can look at the buttons and order the buttons. Ed, if people want to order said buttons that we're talking about here, which say they've got the nativity scene and in big and bold is the word Jesus.
Yes.
And underneath, as Wesley said, it says our joy for all eternity. It's a beautiful Christmas button this year. They all are every year, but how can people order these? Because now's the time of the year to order them so that we can get them to people before Thanksgiving even. And they can wear them and give them away in December.
And by the way, that is what we are encouraging. That's why they're packaged in sets of 10. You say, well, I can't wear 10 buttons at a time. No, you wear one. And then when someone comes up and says, hey, I love that button, you give it to them. And then you can talk about the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like Wesley said, it's a great opportunity for starting a conversation with someone about the Lord that can easily move into a witnessing kind of situation. So you can get them two ways. You can order online. You can go to our resource center. Here's the web address, resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, or by calling this number, 877-927-4917.
Where does that call?
I'll give that again. Calls the ladies upstairs, Resource Center.
Bray English, hit one.
I don't know. I'm assuming that's not.
I think it's probably a lot of Southern English on that number. If it's upstairs here.
Well, we know a couple of ladies right up there that you get.
But you'll be able to understand them.
Yeah. 877-927-4917. Again, or go to resources.afa.net. So, brother or doctor, Jerry Lawson, why don't you share one of those stories? You've been coming to AFA every year at this time, doing devotion for us, and you always have great stories. What story sticks out this morning?
Well, I mean, I've been blessed to be a blessing. And my wife and I grow the peaches. She makes the peach pies, and she makes one of the best Southern peach pies you'll ever have. And this past week, I was taking a meal to a shut-in, and when I went into the house, there was one of these in-home health care workers, this black lady, and she kept looking at my button. And, of course, I like to wear a shirt with a pocket and have a button with a magnet behind it where I can just pop it off and hand it to them. And it kind of startles them when I can take it off like that. But she said, "I'd like to have one of those buttons." And I said, "Well, have you talked to Jesus about it?" She said, "Well, no." I said, "Well, he knows you wanted one, so I'm going to give it to you." And she looked at it. She hugged me. She gave me a kiss. My wife doesn't know about that, but I don't want her to find out. But anyway, she did exactly what I wanted her to do. Mm. And she said, "Sunday, when I go to church, I'm going to tell our elders and deacons to order us some buttons." Said, "We all need to be wearing them in the church." And I thought, wow, well, that's great.
That's awesome.
Had an 8-year-old girl come up to me Sunday at church, and I wondered if she'd lost her button because she'd been wearing it. I want you to know, I've been wearing the Lenten buttons or Easter buttons, but then in August, I went into a department store, and they had Christmas decorations, so I said, "I'm going home, and I'm going to get one of my Christmas buttons, and I'm going to start wearing it."
Yeah.
And anyway, this young lady, she said, and I asked her about her button, and she said, "Brother Jerry, I do what you do. I gave it away. Can I have another one?" She got another one.
Yes.
And but I agree. You need to have a button, but you need to have some in your pocket like I've had here today to pass out to people at the AFA Center.
All right. Well, they come in packaged in of 10.
It's free shipping.
Free shipping. And how do they order, Ed?
Well, and we do. By the way, you can order several packs. I don't know off the top of my head what these cost, but it's not that much. So you can give away as many as you can. Here's the way to order. You do two ways. Online, you go to our resource center, and the web address is resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, or call this number, 877-927-4917, 877-927-4917. And can I share something embarrassing about myself?
Please do.
Yeah, okay. Well, so when Brother Don first started this, doing this 20 years ago.
My dad.
Your dad.
Founder of this ministry.
Don, yeah. He came into my office, and Rusty Benson, we were working on the magazine at that time, and he said, "I have an idea, and I want to see what you guys think about it. I'm thinking of doing Christmas buttons." And he said, and he gave us the whole idea, what we're discussing here. He said, "What do you guys think about that?" So I said, and I was being very honest, I said, "Brother Don, I haven't seen anyone wear a button since 1972 during the election." I said, "I don't think anybody's gonna want these." I don't remember what Rusty said, but your dad, when he had a vision to do something, he said, "Okay, well, I'm going to do it." And I think we distributed a million buttons that year. So I tell that story because I am frequently wrong.
And you want to make plans for the future, don't come to Ed. That's basically what we learned there.
Don't ask me who to buy stock from.
No, I'm the
but
same
your
way.
Dad, your dad had this amazing gift, I always say, to see around corners and to understand where things were going culturally, right, and what to do about it. And he and this Buttons is an odd answer to the war against Christmas, but it's the perfect answer.
Yeah,
and it turned out to be the perfect answer.
Amen. All right, listen, thank you so much, Jerry, for driving up.
Expect that honorary doctorate in the mail at any time.
Will it come framed?
Yeah, we'll get it to you framed, Jerry.
As many as buttons he's giving away.
He deserves it.
He does.
All right, thank you. That's Brother Jerry Lawson from Ackerman, Mississippi. He's the pastor there at Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And has given out more AFA Christmas buttons than anybody in the world. I would dare say, and they're not our buttons. They don't promote us. They promote Jesus Christ and being the reason for the season, as they say.
And by the way, I do, Brent Creeley, our producer, just texted me. So for these packs of Christmas buttons, here's a suggested donation. For one pack of 10 buttons, $15. The more you get, the more it drops. 2 to 4 packs, $10. 5 to 9 packs, $8, 10 plus packs, $5 a pack.
Can people go and look at the button before they order them?
Yeah, they go to the resource. So
some people do that. You know, yep. They want to say, I want to know what they look like before I order them.
Absolutely. If you go to resources.afa.net, you will be able to, when you click through, you will be able
get
to
get that real slow again.
Yes. It's
about spell
the way,
it out for me.
When you go there, there's a banner at the top of this website.
Can't miss it.
And it will rotate with a number of different products, one of which is the button. Okay. And so here's the website address, resources.afa.net, resources, that's resources, resources.afa.net. And if you go, you will find our Joy for All Eternity Christmas buttons, and you just click
Amen.
On that. And
people need to order these because it's time, because we got plenty of time now to get them to people before Thanksgiving even, so that during the month of December you can wear them and give them away. It's a great way to witness.
Yes,
right?
It is.
I mean, the Bible tells us we should share the hope that is within us, and no better time of the year than Christmas to do that with people. And so the buttons are a great conversation starter.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
All right, Fred, what's our next story?
Well, one of the fallouts from the government shutdown, a lot of people are familiar with this, has been airplane traffic. Lots of cancellations, lots of delays out there. And if the House does vote to approve this bill that's now been passed by the Senate, don't expect that problem to go away overnight. You're still going to see lots of delays. We have a very complicated air traffic system in this country. I often mention to people, if you go to FlightAware, which is an app that you can get for your phone, and you can look at the air traffic around this country. It is amazing that we have air traffic controllers and a system that keeps it all very straight. So right now, what has happened as of yesterday, the Transportation Secretary Duffy, they're reducing it incrementally because we got air traffic controllers who are not showing up for work because they're not getting paid during this shutdown. And if the delays continue, it'll go to 10%. So we're getting closer to that busy travel season, and it's getting very difficult. But Kyle Bailey, who is the former FAA safety team rep, says that it's still safe to fly because the safety of the plane has always been in the hands of the pilot. Cut number 6.
It is 100% safe to fly right now, like it is always. The pilots have a complete situational awareness around their airplane, and with what's going on now, they realize they have to be on their game all the time and completely aware of what's going on in the airplane and around the airplane at all times, especially in the highly congested airspace like we see in these major metro areas like New York City, Dallas, Los Angeles. The good news here is It seems like the air traffic controllers are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with possibly the shutdown coming to an end either late today or tomorrow. And the attendance figures are coming up a little bit for those air traffic controllers. So we're a little bit of a good news right there.
Yeah, and the point he's trying to make there is very simple. They're only going to allow as many planes as the existing air traffic control system as we're in right now can handle, all right? So you don't have to worry about planes running into each other. But what you do have to worry about right now, if you got a reservation for a flight in the next 24 hours or so, you may get contacted by your airline saying, we're not doing it, you're canceling your flight or delaying your flight. So, it's for safety that's going on right now, why you have all these cancellations or you have delays. But they are promising to get it back. Hey, listen, these air traffic controllers have a very, very intense job.
Right.
You imagine being an air traffic controller around Atlanta or Chicago or New York. New York, you got two big airports. Well, actually, you got three. Newark, you got Kennedy, and you got LaGuardia in there. I have so much respect for these guys, these air traffic controllers.
You're a former military pilot yourself, so you pay attention to these things. You showed us during our story meeting this morning. You follow on the app, on certain apps about incoming flights, outgoing. It looks like spaghetti strands.
It does
on that screen.
It's amazing that we don't have more accidents, but it's because of the professionals that run the system, both in the cockpit and in that tower.
Right.
I had a really good friend, we haven't talked in a while though, but who was the air traffic controller at Chicago O'Hare.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine that pressure on them?
No.
Ooh. I mean, that's one of the most, the largest, busiest airports in the world.
And that's why, Fred, you said retirement age for...
Late 50s, I believe.
Late 50s, because they just can't handle the stress beyond that.
Yep.
I can relate to that.
Can you?
Yeah.
Your life's like being an air traffic controller at O'Hare.
Just a pretty face.
That's right.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.